This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And thank you for joining us. I'm so excited to be here. I'm always excited to be here. I love talking to you. I meet such amazing guests who have taught me so much in my life, and today included. So let me just say, communication is probably the most important thing we need to master to be successful, whether it's in our business or our private life. It could make or break you. So we're so excited at EWN Radio Network to bring on a new host. Her name is Sharon Saylor, and she is a communication specialist extraordinaire. She is the author of Amazon's international best-selling book, Mindfulness in Action, also as well as the book, What Your Body Says and How to Master the Message. So we're excited to have her here. We think that she's going to offer so much great information to people on this topic that that really can help you succeed, or it can kill you. So, Sharon, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Phyllis. Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to say that your show, it airs on Fridays. It's called Life Interrupted Radio, and it airs on Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So just let me just start with that, Life Interrupted Radio. What do you mean by that?
Well, I find that we grow the most during those unexpected interruptions in our life. At least I have, and the people that I've had as guests all say, you know, when such and such happened to me, boy, that was the time I grew the most. And that's what Life Interrupted Radio is about. About 7 months ago, I had a health challenge that caused me to relook at how I do my work, how I do my business, how I do my coaching. And it set me on a whole new path that's been more than I could have ever imagined. And so that's what Life Interrupted Radio is about, sharing those people who've had an interruption, and they've come out the other side with thriving and finding all new fantastic ways to live their life.
It's almost like expect the unexpected. And the unexpected is what's going to change and help us to grow.
Absolutely.
But don't you think that we fear the unexpected, so many of us?
Oh, we do. It is so common that so many people would rather stay in the uncomfortable, in the unproductive, in the unsuccessful because they know what it is and they have adapted to it than to even just dip their toe into the deep end of the pool to see if there's a better life, a better way of doing something, something more exciting or adventuresome on the other side. And so I'm a big advocate on Life Interrupted Radio, too. Come on, we're all in this together as a community, but, you know, let's dip our toe in the deep end and see what it's like.
And you've dipped your toe in quite a few interesting things. I understand you did a little motorcycle riding, and what are some of the other toe-dipping activities you've done?
Absolutely. Every year for my birthday for, I don't know, the last 25 years or so, I challenge myself to do something I wouldn't normally do. And this has become such a big thing around my friends and family that if I haven't come up with something close to my birthday with whatever that is, I start getting suggestions. And in fact, a few years ago, I hadn't come up with a single thing. And the next thing I know, I was being kidnapped by my friends and taken down to a shooting range where we learned to shoot skeets, you know, those clay plates they throw in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a lot of fun. I mean, I found that great stress relief, actually, trying to shoot these plates out of the air. You know, that was a lot of fun. I think the craziest thing I ever did was for my 50th, and that was I took a group of 9 of my closest girlfriends, and we went and took pole dancing lessons.
I love that. It was fun.
We had a great time. You know, it was just the 10 of us and the instructor, and we had a great time. So challenging yourself to do things you wouldn't normally do.
Now, how does this life interrupted or expecting the unexpected or taking the unexpected and turning it to work in your favor, how does that play into your business? You're a communication specialist. I'm sure maybe you have other names for yourself. That's kind of how I sum it up. But how does that play into your business?
Well, I attribute it to a large part of my success. If we don't step out and take challenges in our life in all shapes and forms, we find that we begin to throttle ourselves in even taking a challenge and trying to, like, oh, I could never contact that big corporation. They wouldn't hire me. Or, my goodness, I shouldn't apply for that speaker opportunity. That's a big stage. There might be, 1,000 people there. And so when we challenge ourselves throughout our whole life, in all different aspects of our life, our personal life as well, I find it really does propel our success in our professional life because we build those muscles of courage, we build those muscles of I can do it, and of confidence. And so we got to keep moving forward.
I love that. You say courage is a muscle. That's so interesting because muscles, when you think of that, you have to work it. You have to build muscle. You have to stretch muscle and to keep it healthy. So you also, if you go to your website, Sharon Saylor, that's SAYLER.com, your motto, so to speak, is conscious, courageous communication. So what do you mean by conscious, courageous communication exactly?
Well, I work primarily with professional women, and a lot of them work in large corporations. And as women, one of the things that I rail against, sometimes you'll find me as irrationally passionate about things here, and one of the things I rail against is about being too nice. I find a lot of women are taught, be nice, be nice. And conscious, courageous communication is not being aggressive and it's not being too nice. It's knowing what you need, knowing what you want, and speaking that. It's not about beating around the bush. It's not about being, oh, my goodness, I could never say that. You know, there are plenty of ways to say the same thing. Recently, I was talking with a client who has a guy in her work environment, and they're the same on the org chart. It's not as if he's a boss or an underling. They're the same on the org chart. And she felt she was just being sabotaged at every turn by this person, and in her mind, she wanted to say some very nasty things, and she knew that would be political suicide. In that case, I suggested, say it consciously and courageously, and we worked up some different ways to say it that weren't extreme, that didn't make her sound aggressive. And even then she said, oh, I don't know, that even sounds a bit harsh. So we played with the idea of even using humor. So there's lots of ways to say what's on your mind consciously and courageously and honestly without being seen as aggressive. People really admire when you say what's on your mind.
You know, it's interesting, and I have to say that I've been guilty of this where I get emotionally connected to something, and I fear failure. And as a result of feeling failing at something, I might speak out in a way that you use the word aggressive. People don't want to hear, especially, people you're working with or if it's your boss, they don't want to hear aggressive. So what is that line? How do you draw that line so you can still be honest and take the emotion out of it? I think that is a hard thing for me.
It is a hard thing, and the first thing I suggest is to breathe. When we're emotionally triggered, our first response is to go into fight or flight, and we stop breathing. When we're not breathing, our mind isn't getting enough oxygen to think clearly, and we're just in react mode. So depending on the transgression, maybe two or three deep breaths will clear it. If not, I suggest even 10 or 20 deep breaths. And also finding any way in your body language to make yourself bigger. Check your posture. Are you standing straight and tall? If you can, make sure that your legs are uncrossed. Have your feet flat on the ground. All these sorts of body language movements, they sound simple, but they're not particularly easy in the moment. The amazing thing they do, though, is they change your body chemistry and activate that part of you that has the confidence. So there's a lot of science behind this. It's called the neurobiology. It's a brand new area of science behind how to use your body language. And you don't want to put your hands on the hips and do sort of the look over your eyeglasses. That's very aggressive. This is just breathing deep and standing tall and staying grounded. So that's one of the things you can do. The problem is, though, as women, a lot of times, even things that we might label as assertive, by other people are often labeled as, I'll just say, the big B word.
Yes,
so men can get, get away with a lot more than women. And we want to be sure that we just speak in a very clear way. And use an I word, I feel this or I think this, instead of you did that or you did this.
Right. That's so true. And I've learned that that kind of communication, where we use the I word and I feel, I need, I want, and then you're not, it's not an attacking. And if you, my feeling is, and I've just learned for myself, that if I'm feeling uptight and worried and feeling that sense of fight or flight, what I've actually learned from a recent experience is to go back and say, well, why does that matter so much? What is it that is causing that emotional trigger? It's almost taking even a step back before, you know, yes, breathe, but even before the breathing. When you talk about, you know, mindfulness in action, I think that's part of understanding ourselves is being mindful. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a great first question. And I'll share the follow-up question is, what am I trying to achieve? So we first discover the trigger, and then we breathe through it and go, okay, now what am I trying to achieve in this moment? Is it just buying time? Is it making sure that this person understands what the true agenda is, what I need, what I want? And this isn't in a selfish sort of way. Sometimes when people hear the idea of I want and I need, it begins to bring up sort of the selfish. Oh, my goodness, I could never say that. That sounds so selfish. However, when we are talking about things in the world, people aren't mind readers. And we could frame it with language softeners in such a way that it isn't accusatory. So it could be talking about the situation instead of when you did this, it would be sort of like you talk in third person where when this happened, see the difference? Instead of you did this, it was when this happened, I felt this way. And that takes the sting out of it. That takes the finger pointing out of it.
All right, Sharon, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to go more into discussing your latest book, Mindfulness in Action, and how that can apply to everything in your life to help you achieve success. So we've got the short break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. You can listen to us Tuesdays, noon Eastern, on the EWN Radio Network. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. Listen to me and my guest Tuesdays, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on the EWN Radio Network as we help you learn how you can be a thriving entrepreneur.
You're listening to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And I am speaking with Sharon Saylor. She is one of our newest EWN Radio Network hosts. Her show, Life Interrupted Radio, airs on Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern. And Sharon is a communication specialist on many levels. I mean, really kind of a holistic approach to communication. conscious, courageous communication, she calls it. And she's written this book, a new one. She's written several books, actually, Mindfulness in Action. And I myself was reading it the other day and took away a lot of really good nuggets. So we were just alluding, Sharon, to mindfulness and in your approach to communication. As a, you're a leadership coach, a body language expert, communication specialist, why is it important to put mindfulness into action?
Well, mindfulness is a buzzword nowadays, but people don't really know what it means. A lot of them think they need to just sit on their cushion with their legs crossed saying Om for 30 minutes and life will be better. And that's not true. As a body language expert, one of the things I'm trained in is observation and perception. And that's about staying present in the moment, to observe someone's body language or a group's body language and then understand what that means. You have to be in the present moment tracking at all times. So I took my expertise in body language and observation and put it into this book, Mindfulness in Action, so people understand, okay, I'm a big fan of meditation. I think it's a great way to stay grounded, to regroup, reset, calm down, fix your stress level, change your blood pressure, all sorts of amazing things. But how do we take it out into everyday life? And one of the main tips that I find a lot of people are surprised by in the book is where I say, learn to make your expectations preferences. And people go, what does that mean? And I find that a lot of stress is elevated when we have preset expectations of events and people. And it takes us out of the moment. If we just have preferences instead of, I expect Phyllis to behave this certain way, it's, I would prefer Phyllis to behave this way. And if she doesn't, you know, that's fine. If she does, well, great. And you can see how that could take the pressure off and keep us able to stay in the present moment. So it's about learning to stay in the present moment all day long instead of just sitting on your cushion for 30 minutes, being present, and then going about your day, getting upset and angry and torqued and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm a certified yoga teacher, and I one of the things that I really believe in is that yoga, which, of course, encompasses mindfulness, if done correctly. It's not just about twisting into a pretzel, I promise you. But it's about, yoga is a life, it's throughout your life. It's every day, all day. It's taking the basic principles of mindfulness and breathing and all of that into consideration and practicing it all the time. It's a practice, and it's something that's not very easy. And mindfulness is really tough, and we are bombarded on a daily basis with information and wearing, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you're wearing so many hats that it's hard to be mindful. So my question to you is if you could kind of run through some tips, let's pick a particular population, the eWomen Network population, women entrepreneurs. So women entrepreneurs will, you know, be mothers, wives, partners. You know, they have a business to run. They have to take care of themselves. There's so many things going on. So how about some tips on being able to stay, to be mindful?
Well, I agree that a woman entrepreneur, you know, that we deserve badges of honor. I mean, for the multiple things that we do. Women as a whole are amazing multitaskers, which is a huge benefit and a huge liability.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion for most women, not just entrepreneurs, but all women, is learn to stay focused. And men tend to do this, and it drives us nuts at times, but when we are doing something, commit to doing that. So if it's mom time and we're focused with our children, put the phone away, put the other things away, and that's your mom time. Even if it's just 10 minutes or 5 minutes, it's amazing how much connection can happen when we truly commit to being in the moment with that event. Our partners probably would be blown away if we put the phone away and told our partner to put their phone away. And connected, truly connected, even for just 5 or 10 minutes. So there's studies out there, research out there, that shows multitasking, while I think it's good that women have that skill, really is not that effective. If you can focus on getting something accomplished in one of your tasks, even if it's just, you know, one-tenth of what you set out to do, saying, okay, here's a baby step in this goal that I have, and focus and do nothing but get that done, and then go on to the next task, that you'll get more done in a day than if you're multitasking, committing to something and just doing it for like 30 seconds, and oh my goodness, the phone rings, or oh my goodness, my I just got pinged on email. But so staying focused is the first part of being able to really commit to being successful.
And what would be some other things that we can do to be mindful? What are some of the actual tools or resources we can use to be able to stay that way? I know in yoga, of course, is you mentioned it earlier, breathing, the breath work.
Well, breathing, a lot of people just laugh at. I'm sure you find that, too, in your yoga work. And you say breathing, it's so common that people don't take it for the value that it is. But to me, breathing is the number one thing that can change your life. I know that sounds funny. People are like, I breathe every day. I breathe since I was born. What are you talking about? But when we learn to breathe mindfully, and that's through yoga, the pranayama is the main type of breathing, but in yoga, but there are, as you as a yoga expert would know, that there are many ways to breathe in it. It can change your mindset very quickly in how you breathe. It can bring up old emotions. You can bring up new creative thoughts in certain ways that they teach you, you know, just in how you breathe in, closing one nostril or the other. You can shift between your left and your right brain. Mm. So I am a strong advocate of people taking classes in learning how to breathe. And I mean this sort of, you'll be blown away, because when I learned how to breathe properly, my whole life changed. For years, I mentored with Michael Grinder, one of the foremost authorities in nonverbal communication. He kept wanting me to get out on stage, and I kept arguing with him, I'll say, until one day he pushed the little bird out of the nest. And it wasn't until I learned to manage my breathing, no matter what the situation, and that's being very careful in how we breathe, that once I managed that and learned how to be aware of my breathing in every situation, the success came exponentially. It just shocked me how fast success came. And people aren't aware, but that's the number one nonverbal you're judged on. People often say, oh, the first impression, how you're dressed, how you look from afar, you know, your handshake, your smile. It's really how you're breathing. It's the ancient parts of our brain that go back, and if they see someone coming at them breathing high and rapid, that activates our fight or flight, because it's like, they're breathing high and rapid. Are they afraid? Are they in danger? Are they going to attack me? Why are they breathing high and rapid? That's always a sign that there's some sort of thing to be wary of. So if you're breathing low, calmly, slowly, or as we'll say, naturally, as you walk into the room, you're seen as confident, you're seen as experienced, you're seen as one of the elder statespeople in the room, just by your breathing.
Hmm. What if somebody is a leader, it's addressing a team of employees, and they're new to the company. That's scary to be looking at all those faces, because, you know, they might have loved the one before you or hated the one before you, and there's lots of expectations. What would you recommend in that kind of high-pressure situation, like specifically, or let's say, in a sales situation, you're going to meet a client for the first time. How do you recommend getting to that place? I mean, we know that it's important to breathe, but that has to happen before you walk in. So what kind of time and what would you recommend people do before that actually happens?
Well, preparation is always extremely valuable. And with the internet today, you can prepare in so many ways. So I say Google the person you're going to meet or the people you're going to meet, the company you're going to go to. Especially on companies, don't go to their About Us page. Go to their press releases and read their press releases. That's telling you what's happening right now in the environment that they're in. It'll tell you the company culture. A press release does so much more than the About Us page because the About Us page is so sanitized. But a press release will tell you lots about what's going on. So if you've got a sales call to make at a large company, that's the first place I go. Then also Google and find out, you know, is there any other thing I should know? Are there any challenges in this person's culture or environment or industry? Because the more I come prepared to talk to them about the challenges they have and how I can benefit them, how I can be of service to them with those current urgent challenges, absolutely I look like the genius in the room. Because speaking to someone's most urgent need is much better than talking in sort of this airy-fairy, oh, we'll make you more confident. In my situation, I talk, you know, people say nobody buys confidence, and that's true. They want the skills of confidence. They just don't buy confidence. So it's important to speak to someone's most urgent needs.
And so it sounds to me the mindfulness is being mindful before you go in that you're not distracted by anything else and that you are focused on that company, on that person that you're going to meet. That, to me, when you're talking about mindfulness, is being in that moment with that company before you even walk in the door. The more prepared you are, the more confident you're going to be. And then, I guess, before we go in, we go in the bathroom, we take a few deep breaths, right? Look in the mirror and go, you're a rock star, right?
Absolutely. And you can also do what Dr. Amy Cuddy from Harvard calls power poses. I do not suggest doing these in the boardroom as you speak. But as you said, in the bathroom or a quiet place, absolutely do a power pose. And that's a Wonder Woman or a Superman pose. Hands on hips, make, you know, feet far apart, making yourself as big as possible. And if you can do that for as little as 1 minute in someplace private, you will change your body chemistry. You will activate your nervous system of confidence and success. And when you walk into that room, you will just be dynamite.
Sounds great. All right, well, we're going to be talking a little bit more about body language. You already kind of gave that first tip, but we're going to be coming back to that right after this short break, so stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Janelle McCauley, the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, right here on the EWN Radio Network. Join me every Thursday to find out how you can take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the food you love. Each week, I'll bring you powerful and revealing interviews with doctors, health experts, and people just like you who have learned to create a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. I look forward to serving you great content and healthy tips on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. And remember, if you can't listen to me live, you can always get the replay at ewnradionetwork.com. I invite you to join me each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, here on the EWN Radio Network, and let's create your healthy future together.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with your host, Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back. Yes, I'm Phyllis Smith, and I'm speaking with Sharon Saylor. And Sharon is many things, a leadership coach, body language expert, communications specialist. And we've been, she's best-selling author of a couple of books and written more than that. One book is called Best Mindfulness in Action, and which we were just talking about in our last segment about being mindful in your life. And then another one prior to that was What Your Body Says and How to Master the Message. So you were just alluding to it, looking in the mirror before you go into an important event or important meeting, and standing with your hands on your hips and looking like Superman or Superwoman, and that actually will change the way you feel. I think that's really interesting. It sounds to me it's kind of like the outside in. You always hear confidence comes from the inside out, but in a way, you're saying the opposite.
Well, they're both true. In my work in body language, as I was studying it with my mentor, Michael Grinder, one of the things he said to me was, when we change from the inside out, oftentimes it takes a long time, but it's longer lasting. When we change from the outside in, it's something we can immediately do, but it takes repeated success to really get it to stick. But it you will get immediate success. By that, I mean changing your body language, teaching someone to not wring their hands when they're talking in front of a group. You know, having them just consciously be aware, okay, my hands are not, I'm not going to be wringing my hands in front of the group. You will get immediate success. But it takes a little bit longer over a period of time where you're catching yourself, so you're being a little more reactive. You're in front of the group, go, oh, my goodness, wringing my hands, stop wringing my hands, put them down by my side. And then so it's a little bit reactive, but you get more immediate success when you change from the outside in.
Speaking of which, wringing hands obviously is a big no-no. What are some of the other big no-nos when it comes to body language, big mistakes that people tend to make?
My biggest no-no that so many of the women I work with just, sometimes you'll see them when they see me walking down the hall in one of the corporations I work in, they'll just immediately switch. And that is standing with your ankles crossed. If you imagine, well, I know why we do it. I'm a woman that wears high heels as well. And it's a way that we can relax our back, taking the weight off one hip or the other. But the message of standing with our ankles crossed says, little girl. And that's certainly nothing. Yeah, we don't want to send that message in the corporate world. We don't need to reinforce that message at all.
Yeah, that's true. I think about that, and I think it also, to me, it sort of makes you look closed, and you look like a little girl, but you're also not welcoming the person you're talking with. I notice that sometimes people, and I'm very cognizant about this for myself, I'll cross my arms if I'm talking to somebody, and I'm very cognizant of dropping my arms. It's sort of a natural, sometimes it feels comfortable, but I do notice that's something that people do when they talk. They'll cross their arms. What about that would be a big mistake or a big no-no?
Well, absolutely, the crossed arms does send a message that you're closed off. If you're looking and talking and you're cognizant, you're conscious, and your arms are not closed, and you're talking to someone whose arms are crossed in front of their body, if they show you other body language where they're engaged, just assume that it's just a bad habit they have, that they're not closed to you. By that, where are their feet pointed? Are their feet pointed at you or away from you, meaning to the side? Are they the feet of creating an escape route? So that might be a sign. Are they making good eye contact? Are they staying engaged in the conversation and seem, I'll say, somewhat present with you? Then if that's true, then just ignore the crossed arms. But as yourself, I strongly suggest don't cross your arms. you can use, have your arms straight in the natural position where they, you know, naturally are supposed to be, down by your sides. However, most people are so uncomfortable with their arms by their sides, I suggest what is called the media pose. You'll see this in a lot of, it's a little overused, so be careful with it. But have your forearms parallel to the ground, so your shoulders are in alignment, and then your elbows are, you know, across your, are bent, so your arms are across your front. And just with your fingertips and your thumbs, you end up making a little triangle. When you look down, you'll see just a little triangle. Mm. That's a media pose. Now, that's a little overdone, and what it says is, I'm an expert. If you want to send that message, great. In a more casual situation like a networking group, I strongly suggest just lightly crossing or interlocking the fingers. Instead of having that strong triangle that says I'm an expert, you just have your forearms parallel to the ground and just gently interlock your fingers. You'll look more comfortable. It's sort of funny why we don't like our arms straight by our sides where they naturally belong, but that's a good workaround, is just to gently cross your fingers.
Are there different rules for, say, a leadership, somebody in a, what you're talking about has to do, it sounds to me just like general communication. But what about someone in a leadership role? What are some tips, juicy tips on, for people who are in leadership roles and how they can make their body language work for them instead of against them?
Oh, absolutely. Especially for women, use your smile strategically. Too often women walk into the room smiling, and that says assistant. When we use a strategic smile, meaning when someone is introduced to us, when we hear the name, that's when we smile. Now, I don't mean we frown the rest of the time. We have a neutral face. But you'll find that a lot of the male leaders are very strategic when they smile. And this bristles a lot of women when I say, be careful of how much you're smiling. And they're like, well, I don't want to be seen as mean. I don't want to be seen as not nice. Use your smile strategically. The second thing is, know where your chin is at all times. It's very simple. I know, people are like, my chin?
Now I'm like, I'm all self-conscious about my chin.
Well, it's a great workaround when we think of all the things. If you keep your chin parallel to the ground at all times, it solves a multitude of problems. The first problem it solves is looking introverted, and we're tucking our chin. The second problem it solves is looking stuck up by having our chin up in the air. The third problem it solves is tipping our head to the left or the right, says a message of submission. So if we keep our chin parallel to the ground at all times, it helps our posture, which helps our leadership. Good leaders have good posture. Yes, my grandmother was right when she put the book on my head.
She really did that?
Yes, she really did that. Her thoughts were more along the line of beauty queen, but, you know, that's that generation.
Yeah.
But good posture, it sends the message of good leadership. And knowing where your chin is and keeping it parallel to the ground keeps your eye contact straight and on the right horizon. So it's a great way to send a good message. The other thing having your chin parallel to the ground does is keeps your voice quality clear. Now I'm going to raise my chin very high, and you'll hear that my voice quality changes because I'm stretching my vocal cords.
Mm.
And you probably were able to hear there. Now that was completely stretched, but you were able to hear how just raising the chin changes the quality of the voice.
Right.
Now I don't know Hillary Clinton personally, but I've watched the videotapes. And one of the things that she tends to do, that if I was able to say to her,
work
keep
with her
chin parallel to the ground, is she tends to raise her chin when she talks. And that's one of the reasons people say that, oh, she sounds angry. Well, she may not be angry. She may or may not be angry. I don't want to speculate. But on body language, just by dropping the chin, you don't sound angry. Raising the chin, a lot of times people think we're angry because we can't get the breath we need. And when that also happens when we're angry.
Yeah, and I just was doing this while you were talking, and when I had my chin neutral, I found that immediately my shoulders went back, and it immediately improved my posture. I mean, everybody, you should try this. Put your chin down, and you start hunching over, and then you put your chin up, and, you know, that's like a whole other thing that's going. It's uncomfortable. I mean, let's put it that way. It puts a strain on your neck. So that really works. I get that. So
it's also a challenge for our young people today. I'm of a generation where we didn't have cell phones, but I worry. I lecture a lot on university campuses, and I worry a lot about our young people. Physically, they're hunched over with their neck forward so often that the front neck muscles are being foreshortened and the back neck muscles are being lengthened just by being in that position too long. And when I make the comment, okay, everybody, chin parallel to the ground, I'm amazed on university campuses how hard people go, well, that kind of hurts. That's sad because we're setting ourselves up in that position for a lot of neck problems down the road. So everybody, chin parallel to ground, raise your phone up instead of looking down.
Another thing, I read an article on your website, Sharon Saylor, SAYLER.com, where you talk about the pause. We hear sometimes the pregnant pause when speaking to a group, and that many people fear it. In fact, it made me very conscious about saying when I was interviewing you today. I want you to know that I'm being very conscious about not saying but it, you know, that pause is actually could be, you know, silence could be golden, actually. How so? Explain how we, number one, why that pause could be beneficial, and number two, how do we avoid filling that gap? How do we get in that mindset where we don't feel like we have to fill the gap with an or an ah?
Great question. And this is first part of my answer will be to a larger group, not one-on-one or a very small group. But when we're speaking to a large group, when we pause, that's where we look the most intelligent. And people are like, well, that's silly. Isn't it my words? If we do run-on sentences and we speak too quickly, people can't catch up with our thoughts. They're too busy listening to really hear what we say. So when we pause, that's where we look intelligent, because people go, they get caught up with what we say, and they go, oh, and then they understand the profoundness of what we say. So if you're doing a speech and you have two or three points that you really want to get across, be sure that you have a longer pause than normal at the end of those important points. And my strongest case in point for that is to watch TV preachers. They are masters of the long pause at the point where they want to really have that last thing they said sink in. And so if you want to see masters of the long pause, you watch TV preachers. I just enjoy watching them. They're such masterful at body language. And then also, as far as the ums and ahs go, it's your body's way of saying you're not breathing. Mm. And an and an ah is a forced exhale. And one of the things we do, we sound less intelligent when we're and ah, and when people see us struggling for words, they'd much rather be comfortable having us in a moment of silence than to have and ah. It's a bad habit, and it does take a while to get used to not doing it. But if you find yourself doing it in the moment, just realize the best reset, reboot is just take a couple of nice, deep breaths. Now, in a smaller group, people are often worried about losing the mic. In a large group, you're usually the speaker, and nobody else is speaking. You know, you've got the actual mic situation, so it's not as much of a concern. But in a smaller group, say you're speaking in front of your team or something like that, people are worried about losing, I'll say metaphorically, losing the mic, meaning someone else will jump in if we pause too long. And that's where you use a frozen hand gesture. A frozen hand gesture is a gesture that is out from your body a little bit, and I like to do a side palm, meaning the side palm is open so my thumb is facing up, and I hold it out, and then I pause. And I don't say anything during that time that hand is frozen out there. Then what I do, as my mouth begins to open for my next segment, I drop and change the hand gesture. What I'm teaching people at that moment is that I'm not done. Wait, there's more. And it's amazing how people learn that the frozen hand gesture not the time for you to jump in and speak, that I'm not done yet.
You have a video on your website where you also talk about hand gestures when you're addressing a team and wanting a team to work together. Can you explain that? I love that.
Yes. This one is very, very powerful, and it actually works with children as well, so I love it. What you do is you, if you have two opposing sides of a team, we'll say Team A and Team B, and you want them to work together, you choose which one goes where in your palm. So we'll say in this situation, Team A is always in my left palm, and Team B is always in my right palm. And as I talk about Team A and what they're doing, we'll say they're engineering and they're doing this product and they're at this point in the product development, then I drop my hand and I bring out my right hand to talk about Team B and their marketing and they've got this brochure ready. And then, however, we need the two teams to work together. And as I begin to talk to how the teams are going to work together, I gently clasp my hands together. Now, this isn't a clap. I just smashed them. I just smashed them together. We don't want to do that.
Team, yeah.
We just smashed them together, metaphorically. Instead, we just gently bring our hands together and sort of look in a cup position, and we bounce it as we talk about working together. So I bring my left hand to my right hand and in front of me, and I gently bounce it. This is not a hatchet, just a gentle bounce. When I say, and the two teams I know will produce the perfect product. And that's
beautiful.
A nonverbal way of where you as a leader are showing you expect those two teams to work together and be a joint team. And it's amazing. It works with teenagers, too. Teenager one is in the left side, teenager two is in the right side.
Sibling one, sibling two. Okay. It's time to work together. But then you want to smash them, so you might accidentally smash your hands together. All right, Shara Taylor, we're going to be taking in one more short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about women's success strategies and why maybe women need a little extra help than men, and why, and you're going to offer some tips on that. So stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Henderson, host of eWomen Radio Network's Idea Success with Sylvia. Listen live Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to get your ideas, dreams, goals, and plans out of your head and into action for profit and purpose. I'll interview people who've taken their ideas and made them reality, uncovering successes, challenges, and the lessons they've learned in the process. We'll hear from experts who help you get unstuck and be in action as you or your team put your ideas in motion. I'll share insights on the systems I use with my clients to get things done in business and life. Join me Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern or later at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I am bursting at the seams to share great ideas, introduce you to amazing people, and to be your catalyst for turning your dreams into dollars and your ideas into income and impact. That's Idea Success with Sylvia, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Welcome back to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And we are moving into our final segment here, talking with one of our newest EWN Radio Network hosts, Sharon Saylor. Her show, Life Interrupted Radio, airs Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And she is a communication specialist, body language expert. She's a speaker. She's a best-selling author and leadership coach. So you are, Sharon, you are many things, and I've been learning so much about here. I'm worried that I'm afraid to walk out of the room because I'm going to be thinking about all these things, my hands, my head, my chin, so at some point, I guess you work on it enough, practice it enough, it'll become natural. So now you have on your website, Sharon Saylor, SAYLER.com. You have a separate section called Women's Success Strategies. Why do you think women need the extra help with that?
Well, especially women of my generation, I think the younger ones, not so much, but there's still so much cultural propaganda for women to be a specific way. And one of my biggest bugaboos is about being nice. And we've talked about that a little bit ago, too, this idea of being nice. But women take that on as sort of a badge of honor, and it hampers our success in so many ways. Also, we're taught in not to show our intelligence, and I think that is one of the biggest things that women get. Oh, I didn't want to look like I was blowing my own horn. If you have a great idea, share it. Absolutely share it. There's nothing wrong with being an intelligent woman, and don't let anybody ever tell you there is.
Yeah. It's interesting because you might see on, let's say, you know, pick any magazine or Inc. or Entrepreneur or whatever, any business related, you're not going to see necessarily men success strategies. It's almost like women's success strategies. We have to, you know, it's kind of like coming out of the ghetto. You could be born in the ghetto, and it's very easy to stay there. You got to work extra hard than anybody else to get out of the ghetto to be successful, because you, that could be your destiny because that's where you were born. It's almost like women, we have, you know, a strike against us because we're women.
Oh, absolutely. People expect us to be a certain way. And when we don't, they begin to try to do everything to keep us to be that way they expect us to be. And one of the critical things that women need to learn in business is to be able to share in a very clear and distinct way the skills that they understand and know about business. So share your business acumen. Don't let somebody tell you you don't know business. Now, you know, if you've got a mentor, that's great, and they can tell you ideas and coach you along. I don't. This isn't about being arrogant, but too often I find women stifle themselves. Another area where it's just assumed that men know and that women don't know, and this frustrates me no end, is understanding the finances of business. Whether you're an entrepreneur or you're a part of a business, a larger business, or even a Fortune 100, educate yourself on the finances of a business. Whether too often you find women in larger corporations in what I call the non-money producing areas of business, and those people are not the ones that get promoted. The people that get promoted are in those areas that produce money. And if you're in a cost, something that costs the company business, like HR or PR, you're not seen as successful as the person who can say, well, you know, I managed XYZ project, and we brought it in $100 million under budget. Then you're noticed. So
yeah.
Understand the finances of business and make sure that you're able to speak about those as well. That's another really important success strategy, that women are sometimes afraid to talk about money, and that's where you get noticed.
Yeah, that's a relationship that women need to develop, a relationship with money, and that it's okay. I mean, I know coming from having been a more on the creative side of things, I was, you know, radio, worked in radio for years, CBS radio and television on the, as a producer on the air and reporter. And it was always the creative thing, and the creative people hated, you know, they didn't hate, but they just didn't see eye to eye with the salespeople, right? And the salespeople, all they wanted to sell is commercials and get in the show, but then the creative people didn't want to have too many commercials. So there was always this battle. But you really have to develop that relationship with money and not be ashamed by it. And I think that's where it starts. One more thing, we're going to be running out of time here shortly, but there is one article that you wrote called 5 Success Tips in 5 Minutes or Less, sort of accelerated success tips. And you spoke to other professionals, I just want to offer some of those five, and just I'll throw them at you, and you know, if you can just elaborate on it. One thing for women, one tip, success tip for women: dress professionally.
Oh, absolutely!
It just surprises me when you say that. It's like it's obvious, but why? In some cases, I guess it's not obvious.
Oh, it's not obvious. I've been into so many situations in companies where I'm, you know, dress professionally. And if you don't know what that means, go find out. Go to a stylist and have someone style what is best for your body and dress professionally.
Okay, and so, yeah, when you're working in a place, they probably have a dress code, and you need to fall into that. And if you don't, you know, you need to go and get some more clothes. I like the idea of a stylist. That's kind of fun. There's plenty of magazines right. and stuff on the internet, too, that you can look at. So
right.
number two, let it go. Stop worrying about what others think. That's a tough one.
It is a tough one, but it's so often where they're playing, in corporations and in large companies, they're playing mind games on you. People will say things, as I call a drive-by, just to knock you off your game. And mm-hmm. so you want to be sure, is this office politics? Is this knocking me off my game? Or do they have a truth? If you can say really quickly, like, yeah, they're right, okay, make some self-correction. If your first response is, what are they talking about? They're not right. Let it go. Too often I find women will hear a drive-by, and they'll spend hours and hours redoing the research, redoing the numbers, and all of that, when all it was a game to knock you off balance. Mm.
Do men feel that? Do men worry about that stuff as much as women, you think, in general?
Not at all. Not at all.
Why is
that? If they hear somebody,
is that?
They've played team sports so long, they know trash talk when they hear it, and it happens in the boardroom as well as on the playing field.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number three, work hard. That sounds like a no-brainer to me as well.
Well, it sounds like a no-brainer, but oftentimes, I want to say work hard and work smart, because that's the only way you're going to be shown as to being successful. But you can work too hard. Don't overthink it. Oftentimes we know, and as women, we overthink, we ruminate, and it goes back to this idea of know when to let it go.
Yeah. I know I've done that before, and I get a little OCD about things. So it has to be done now. It has to be done today. And then it cuts into my evenings, and then next thing you know, it just dominoes where I have a late night, and then I get home, and then I don't have enough time with my husband, and then I'm tired, and it really could domino. You got to get rid of the OCD.
Yes.
Number four, another success tip in 5 minutes or less, don't be afraid to not be nice. You alluded to this a few times during our conversation.
Absolutely. Oftentimes, the being nice is what gets us in trouble. You'll hear from higher-ups as you go up the chain of command, you know, I would have promoted her, but she was too nice. What they're actually saying is you look hesitant. You look like you can't make a command decision. It looks like you cannot lead when you're too nice. And so that's really what you're saying to the higher-ups. When you're being too nice, you'd be talking in the we instead of sharing what you did. I did this. And a lot of times you may have been successful in that project, but you'll say, we did this. And other things like that are too nice. And so we don't want to send that message that we're hesitant and we can't lead.
There's something one of our other EWN radio hosts, Patty Azar, she has a show and a business she calls Breaking the Good Girl Syndrome. And that I love that, because that's true. We were raised to be nice. But being mm-hmm. nice isn't necessarily going to make us successful. So, and earlier you were talking about how to be assertive and not aggressive. And there's body language and many things. And you can go to SharonSaylor.com and there'll be plenty of books there she's written that to teach you about that. And one last thing, finally, your fifth success tip in 5 minutes or less, know that I can't read minds. I love that.
That works in both your private life and your professional life as well. When you don't know what someone's saying, ask them for clarification. Absolutely, there's nothing wrong with saying, so what I hear you say is XYZ. Repeat back to them, use their words. If you don't know what they mean, say, I'm sorry, I'm not following you. Can you explain it to me again? So absolutely, do not hesitate to speak up when you really don't have a clue.
Very good. Sharon Saylor, thank you so much. I've learned so much in just this short conversation with you. I could go on forever. Sharon Saylor, her show is called EWN Radio Network, and it's called Life Interrupted Radio. Airs live Fridays, 7 p.m. Eastern. But, of course, if you miss it live, you can always catch her at EWNRadioNetwork.com and listen to the recording. Thank you so much.
Thank you.